Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guy Zavita, my waiting for the video portion of our show. He's back, or one of our newest additions, Chief Ref Ornelas, all the way from California. And yes, he retired as a police chief, but also formerly commander with the L.A. Sheriff's Office. So that is correct. So I said, Sheriff, over there in California, you guys don't have offices. You guys have departments, right? So is it the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, or are they going with the office thing? I can't remember.
L.A. County Sheriff's Department.
Uh-huh. See, I rushed my case.
Years ago was L.A.S.O., but then they changed the Sheriff's Department.
You guys just got to be different over there on the other side of the world. So, yeah, that's it. And then we've got Captain Brett Bartlett, retired from the Tampa Police Department with 32 years of, let me get the sheet that Brett wrote out for me. exemplary police experience. He's also the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And he's a great, good-looking guy, strapping good-looking guy. I forgot to put the strapping in there.
I didn't found the Wounded Blue, but thanks.
Yeah. Oh, did I say the Wounded Blue? Oh, okay. I meant Exumber Defense Solutions at exumberdefense.com. Okay. All right. You caught me. All right. Thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Shout out to our sponsors. We have Gulls at Gulls.com, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor at ComplianTechnologies.com. We have AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, and they are our streaming sponsor. And yes, we're streaming over 1 million followers right now. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and FishOrlandoBass.com now. Here's the deal. And Brett is a big fan of Zach and Fish Orlando Bass. So Zach has a bass fishing charter. And of all places, Brett, Orlando. And what else is in Orlando, Brett, that attracts families and children?
Something with a big mouse.
Disney.
And a whole lot of DEI.
And a whole lot of DEI. So guys, if you've had enough of the DEI, or if you're just dropping off of the wife and the kids or the grandkids, Brett and I talk, and we always say, guys, you have options. If you're a dude, do the bass fishing charter, and even the females might enjoy it. And if you have young children, they would probably love the alligator hunt. No, I'm kidding. The guys, if you want to do the alligator hunting and catch and relocate alligators, Zach has that option too at FishOrlandoBass.com. So make sure you check that out. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also Ray Diedrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, we got some great stories. Bounties originating from Mexico offered to shoot ICE and Customs Border Patrol, CBP officers in Chicago. Guys, this is getting out of hand. We got to do something about this. We've also got some other great stories. We got one of two officers. I shouldn't say great stories. One of two officers shot by friendly fire outside a West Palm Beach home during a shootout with a suspect. So that's in Florida. Then we got a South Carolina officer cleared in response to a mass shooting that killed one but injured 11. And they start off the article by saying they're not going to charge the officer, if that tells you anything. Then we got a hammer-wielding suspect fatally shot when advancing towards Las Cruces officer. Then we got dash cam video showing the end of a pursuit. But it's the third pit was the charm on a box truck. We've had a number of box trucks being stolen. There must be something, some incentive to steal box trucks is what I'm thinking, guys. But this cop was able to pit it. It took three tries. I don't care. I was just impressed he was able to get this huge truck pitted. And then California sheriff removed him office. Finally, thank God. I know that Ralph is going to have some inside scoop on the San Mateo County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff that she needed to go. I can't believe that she stayed as long as she did. And she just dug her heels in and didn't want to go. And then we got Oklahoma City police officer shooting and wounding a suspect when he started throwing boards and bricks at the officer. And if we have time to get to it, we have it's called Here's Your Kid. Missouri woman allegedly hands former lover a cooler with a fetus in it. And that's what she said. Here's your kid. And then we got, Lenexa Police Department releases a 911 call and body cam from a June incident that left the guy dead. So we got a lot of stories to cover. We're going to have to cover the one with the cooler and the fetus before the show's over. It's going to happen, Brett. I know it's good to get out of your comfort zone, Brett, occasionally. So this is going to be one of those days, I'm afraid. So look, before we go there, though, let's start off with our main story. DHS LA.gov. That's the source of the story. We got almost 6 minutes before we take our first commercial break. Let me also throw in, we are doing a Gulls gift card giveaway today. It's a $50 Gulls gift card giveaway. So if you're watching on the stream and you want to win this $50 Gulls gift card, number one, you cannot have won the contest in the last 90 days. Number two, the way to enter is on the stream. All you have to do is type in the word Gall, Galls, that is G-A-L-L-S, and give us your email address so that I can email you the digital card after the show is over. It's during the live show only is when we're doing it, and that is 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time during the lunch hour. So on this story, bounties originating from Mexico offered to shoot ICE and CBP, Customs Border Patrol guys, in Chicago. So this is coming out of Washington, D.C. It's a little bit of information, but, you know, guys, I was just going to do a slimmed down version, but, oh, my gosh, the information they had having here, it's incredible. So the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, DHS, they've obtained credible information indicating that the Mexican criminals, in coordination with domestic extremist groups, have placed targeted bounties on ICE and Customs Border Patrol personnel. The criminal networks, they've issued explicit instructions to U.S.-based sympathetics, including street gangs in Chicago, to monitor, harass, and assassinate federal agents. Specific details from ongoing investigations include, now look, they're not going to give us everything because they don't need to compromise the information they have, but what they're giving up, it's alarming. Spotter networks. In neighborhoods like Chicago's Pilsen and Little Village, gang members affiliate with groups like the Latin Kings. They've deployed spotters on the rooftops. They have firearms, radio communications. They track ICE and Customs Border Patrol movements in real time, relaying coordinates. The surveillance has enabled ambushes and disruptions during routine enforcement actions, including recent raids under Operation Midway Blitz. Second thing they got going on, tiered bounty system. Cartels have disseminated a structured bounty system program, and that is being used to incentivize violence against federal personnel with payouts that escalate based on the rank and the action taken. I'm not making this up. For example, you can get $2,000 for gathering just intel on doxing agents, including photos and family details. You get between $5,000 and $10,000 if you kidnap or non-lethal assaults on standard ICE and Customs Border Patrol officers, up to $50,000 if you assassinate a high-ranking official. In Portland and Chicago, Antifa groups have provided logistical support, such as pre-staged protest supplies, doxing of agent identities, and on-ground interference to shield cartel-linked individuals from deportation. And here's a quote from Kristi Noem, the secretary, saying that these criminal networks are not just resisting the rule of law, they're waging an organized campaign of terror against the brave men and women who protect our borders and communities. Our agents are facing ambushes, drone surveillance, death threats, all because they dare to enforce the laws passed by Congress. We will not back down from the threats, and every criminal terrorist and illegal alien will face American justice. It goes on to say that DHS will not be deterred by the threats and calls on sanctuary states and local leaders to cease their policies that are emboldening the criminals. All right, guys, there you got it. Commentary on this. Ralph, you want to take it first?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I worked a federal investigation with cartels, Mexican mafia, all the way to Chicago. And it doesn't surprise me that the cartels, because anytime you affect their flow of money and cash, they're going to respond in this manner. And they have a very sophisticated network of communication to Latin Kings or other gangs that will support them. And it really frightens me, the fact that this intel is coming out, and you mentioned a tiered system about payment. It doesn't surprise me, Chip and Brett and the audience here today, because this is what they want to do, to instill fear, intimidation. But you know something, one of the things I really love about what the administration has done is classify certain gangs and also cartels as foreign terrorist organizations, you know, and I it really bothers me so much that we have certain politicians, you know, pushing back on this. But unless you work a case like these, you don't realize the danger and what the capacity these criminal elements have on our society. And it really breaks my heart about ICE and CBP doing the Lord's work out there like we all did. And here they are, they got to be doxxed and having, knowing the fact they have payments out there, reward system for intel and doxxing. And if you kidnap and kill somebody, I worry about that agent, head agent Bovino, who's in charge. I mean, you know, not that because he's Italian, but, you know, the fact that he's a great guy, you know, and what he's doing the Lord's work. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brett.
Well, I think they need to find these people, put a hellfire missile up there behind, just like Trump is doing to those Venezuelan dope boats out there in the ocean. He's closing out their health records. And we need to find these people and kill them. Find them, arrest them if it's in our jurisdiction, if they're outside, external, just kill them.
That would certainly solve the problem, I think, guys. Hey, we've got some interesting topics. So, yeah, this is a little bit of a shocker here. We got some more shockers coming up. So, guys, stick with us. We got a lot more coming up. Commercial break. We'll be right back. It's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you consider the online option, it's almost limitless, right? But here's what's important, guys. I want to remind everybody about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. A lot of guys say they support law enforcement, but in all reality and truth, they don't. But Gauls does. And they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a gift card code, and you can type it in when you go to Gauls.com to get 15% off your next purchase. It's Radio 15, so type in Radio 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We're going to give away one today. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card. They will be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls at Gauls.com. All right, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, guys. And hey, if you're not familiar with them, they, in today's world, protection goes beyond the physical safety. And if you can mute that microphone that I just heard, please. It goes beyond physical safety on the front lines with hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. They're Eagle Protect nitrile gloves. They offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. And their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And they continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to compliantechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that is compliantechnologies.com/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas and also Captain Brett Bartlett. And we've been talking about, you know, we had a main topic. We've got a couple of update articles that we're getting ready to cover. The first one, WSVN.com. We have one of two officers shot by friendly fire outside of West Palm Beach home during a shootout with a suspect with a bad guy. So West Palm Beach police, they released new details in an officer involved shooting earlier in the month. Detectives say that while responding to a fight at a residential neighborhood, they were met with gunfire from an armed suspect. One officer was hurt from the gunfire, but after they did a forensic review of the evidence, they determined that a second officer was unintentionally fired at by another officer's gunfire. That's an interesting way to put it, Brett. Both injured officers were transported, later released from the hospital. So a friendly fire incident. And, you know, that's why we're covering this stuff to learn. So Captain Bartlett.
I'm not surprised at all. The amount of training the police officers get in these kind of things, I'm not surprised at all. You know, they get tunnel vision. They're not trained to handle that. All they see is here, and they're moving about. I'm not surprised. I'm glad that they're okay, but it doesn't raise my eyebrows one little bit.
All right. Well, hold that thought then. GlobalOrdinanceNews.com. We have a South Carolina officer cleared in response to a mass shooting that killed one and injured 11. So notice that the title of the article says that the officer is cleared. And again, one killed. We have 11 people injured. So here we go. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Further details of a mass shooting in Myrtle Beach earlier this year was released on Wednesday by the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. So they say it's not clear from the report how many of the 11 people injured during the officer-involved shooting were actually shot by law enforcement or by the accused shooter. Now, they say shot by law enforcement, but according to the article I believe I read, only one officer fired. So there was a third, I guess, third ballistic or a you know, a third shell casing found that neither came from the bad guy's gun or the cop's gun. So, and shot spotter picked up an extra shot. So I don't know how they explain that, but Myrtle Beach police officer Brandon O'Rourke will not face criminal charges after an investigation of the shooting conducted by SLED. And that is the that's the agency, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. So when you hear SLED, that's what I'm talking about. According to a letter from the Horry County Solicitor, Jimmy Richardson. So Myrtle Beach police asked SLED to investigate the shooting. The shooting occurred on April the 26th, 2025. It was in a tourist district along Ocean Boulevard in downtown Myrtle Beach. It left one person dead, 11 people injured. So we have two other officers, Muhammad El-Huli and Officer Jeremiah Johnson. They were also there at the shooting, but they never fired their weapons, according to the solicitor. The report also listed five adult victims and six juvenile victims. So the 11 victims, five adult, six juveniles whose names were redacted in the report. Many of the victims, including the person who was pushing a stroller with one of the victims, they were standing in front of a nearby Mr. Fry's restaurant on North Ocean Boulevard, where Jairus Davis of Bettsville is accused of opening fire into the crowd. That's the bad guy. And Davis is 18 or was 18, and he was ended up being killed in the shooting. The report is based on business and camera, business and city cameras that were, you know, catching the incident going on, and also police body cam footage. So about 11:49 in the evening, Myrtle Beach police officer Brandon O'Rourke, he exits a restaurant, and we got our bad guy Davis is pulls out a handgun from his waistband and he starts shooting in the area of 911 North Ocean Boulevard. And Davis, our bad guy, fires his weapon four times. Now the officer points his handgun at the bad guy, who turns and then starts running away. Now, the officer pursues the bad guy, and then he fires five times towards Davis, the bad guy. Now, ShotSpotter detected six gunshots. It was determined that one 9mm casing located at the scene was not fired from the officer or the bad guy, which I previously mentioned. Our bad guy falls to the ground, and the officers place him in handcuffs. The officer, O'Rourke, the shooting officer, and then one of the other officers, El-Huli, they go to one of the victims that's on the ground bleeding from her leg. And the officers start doing the tourniquet thing, and Officer O'Rourke tells the victim, "I'm sorry, I got you." But it doesn't say, when he says "I got you," it doesn't say whether he means "I got you," like "I shot you," or "I got your back." You know, I don't want to read too much into this. I hate to put the inflections in there, but he said, "I got you." So someone then yells to the officers, "Got one in here too." And they found, of course, another victim lying face down on the floor. So in a follow-up interview with SLED on April the 30th and on June 23rd, Officer O'Rourke provided additional information about why he discharged his firearm in the crowded area. He said that he recognized the situation as a, quote, active shooter. And I see Ralph nodding his head. He made the conscious decision to fire his weapon, even though the sidewalk was crowded. And he did this in order to protect the lives of his innocent bystanders. All right. So that's something. And that's why I like the way that we Monday morning quarterback, because we take all these things into account. Right. Officer O'Rourke was working mandatory overtime as well on this night of April the 26th and was assigned, you know, to the area. So that's the information we have, guys. Your breakdown. Whoever wants to go first. Ralph, you want to start us off?
You know, the guy said his interpretation of O'Rourke was an active shooter. I can respect his decision making on that. What concerns me is that, you know, what is the backdrop? And let's face it, he was cleared by the shooting. I hope in this place and time that the shooting evaluation team of that department could use this as a training tool in some manner to dissect the parts of things that could have been done differently. And I'll defer to Brett right now to his, you know, I want him to, his input, his expertise.
Well, I mean, Ralph, what do you do? I mean, you got a crowded sidewalk. You got crowds of people between you and a bad guy that's shooting. And he shot four times before you make the decision to shoot. So, I mean, you know, you could argue it. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But are you saying that the backdrop, but let's assume there's a bad backdrop that this guy's taking out civilians and you got a gun. What are your options?
Well, you know, first of all, like I stated, I respected his spirit and intent. If you heard what I said, what he did, what I'm saying after the fact that he's been cleared of the shooting, let's go back and use some training issues on that, in that scenario, because yeah, he confronted the guy. the guy shot, I don't know how many times that guy, that suspect shot, and who he hit, the suspect hit, and O'Rourke went at him, probably prevented other people getting shot. But my concern was also how many people were shot by, if you look at ballistics, by the officer.
Yeah. Well, guys, hold that thought, Brett. We got about 10 seconds. We're going to commercial break. We'll be right back. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer, meaning that now you guys can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas and also Captain Brett Bartlett. We've been talking about two stories that they're separate, but they're kind of connected. The first one, we had a friendly fire incident involving law enforcement at the scene. I think it was West Palm Beach area. And the second one, we're up in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, I believe. And we've got an active shooter situation. At least the cop thought it was an active shooter. And look, bad guys, it's crowded. It's a tourist attraction place. And bad guy is shooting multiple rounds. And the cop is walking out of a restaurant when he sees this go down, and he decides, even with the crowded situation, to engage the guy. And so I think we had one person killed, and the bad guy ended up getting killed, and 11 people injured on this. And they've said they're not going to discipline the officer. So that's what we're talking about right now. And I know that I can't remember who was up next when we went to commercial break, but
Brett. Yeah, I'm next.
Okay.
All right, so from a strictly SOP legal standpoint, if this was Florida, that cop's clean every single day. What better need is there to shoot somebody who's running into a crowd with a gun, who's already shot? But here's the problem as a policeman. I'm running, he's running, bunch of people in the background, I'm legally justified. What is my skill level? What am I aware of my skill level? Am I a good shot, am I a bad shot? We don't train cops how to shoot bad guys running into crowds. Police miss 75% of shots fired in use of force events from year to year. They're terrible shots. So what a horrible situation. Do I shoot at the bad guy and maybe kill innocent people, or let him run into the crowd and shoot innocent people? And that's the half second decision you've got to make right there. But you know, my driving instructor told me years ago, You drive a car past 70 miles an hour, you're aiming it. You're not driving anything. You've got to be aware of your, you know, like the famous man said, man's got to be aware of his limitations.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would take that shot. I'm running, I'm bouncing, he's running, crowded people. It's a very volatile situation. I don't know if I would have shot him, but if he did shoot at him legally, perfectly, I'm okay with that.
All right. Makes sense.
I agree with him. I agree with Brett, what he said. Now, my question, though, Chip, remind me, did the suspect shoot anybody? I forget about that. Did he shoot somebody?
You know, and I don't have the article up in front of me anymore. They did not, you know, they certainly said, they didn't say whose bullet struck which people. So we know we have one dead, 11 injured, but they purposely did not put that information. If Sled was involved and did the forensics, they've got to know. They just didn't put it out there. So I don't think that we know from the article whose bullets hit what. But they did say they didn't know how many of these came from law enforcement, when we know that there's one law enforcement, only one cop that fired, you know. So we don't know. They're not releasing that information. I have to believe that somebody knows. So
let me ask Chip, back in the day, back when you were young and back when I was young, let's say we're working Ybor City, which, took those who don't know, that's our entertainment district here in Tampa. And all of a sudden we see a guy, whether he fired a shot or not, he's got a gun in his hand running into those crowded people. What do we do?
I'd hate to be in that situation. I mean, I'd have to believe we would do the right thing.
Well, what is the right thing?
What is the right thing?
Running while you're shooting? We've never been trained to do that ever.
Oh, no, no.
Ever.
But I mean, you know, a lot of the, look, there's so many things that we're exposed to that are fluid, and you can never train for a specific example and have it go down the way you train for.
Well, I'll tell you, if we killed that guy and I was a dead guy's family and I hired an attorney, this attorney, the first thing I would attack is not the legal part of it. It's the officer. Have you ever been trained to do what you did in a situation like that? Let's discount the fact that my client's kid is a jerk and he's doing bad things, but have you ever been trained? And if you have, please let me see the lesson plan.
No, I get it. You know, I wouldn't want to be a Scott Peterson with Broward County Sheriff's Office and that SRO that was the coward that just stood by while kids are getting shot. And then I wouldn't want to be a careless officer. Just, you know, if the bad guy has stopped shooting and he's running away and running through a crowd, I'm probably not going to be shooting the guy unless he starts shooting, again.
You try to run him down is what you try to do.
Yeah. Get up close and personal. So it's one of those, it's one of the situations you hope and pray you're never in.
But like Ralph was talking about, if they don't take that situation and go and rip it apart in a training objective, go to guys and go, listen, fellas, you haven't been trained to do this within the law and SOP. He's clean, but think about what you're doing here. If you've not been trained to do it, if we haven't provided you the training, be very careful. Okay. And that's like when, you're chasing cars. How many times TPD do we give pursuit training? Once every 2 years, maybe
three years.
Three, and, but yeah. Yet we're going to say it's okay for an officer to get into a dangerous chase. Yeah. And that's why as a lieutenant working midnights, I was very quick to say, call it off.
Well, everybody, we've been doing active shooter training for a decade now.
Well, no, we've been doing it once a year for a decade.
Well, maybe once. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Once a year.
Unless you're LAPD, they're probably doing it more than that. But yeah. Yeah. We got to roll on. We got 5 minutes left before our next commercial break. So good topic. We could spend all day on this. So
absolutely.
I'm glad the officers, not getting charged, and hopefully every officer that heard this story is running this through their brain. And I'm talking about like scenarios, like I know that we all do. We may never perfectly anticipate what's going to go down, but this is everywhere we go. We constantly think about scenarios and what we would do. And hey, we got a lot of people that are interjecting on Facebook. We got Sharon Campion and Teresa Rourke and a lot of people entering the contest. Just remember, if you're entering the Gulls gift card giveaway, if I don't have your email address, you're not entered. So you have to give me your email address in order to be entered for that contest, because I have no way to email you the card if you don't do that. Guys, we got some stories with video components that I want to get to real quick. Rumble.com, This Is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. We have a hammer-wielding suspect fatally shot when advancing towards a Las Cruces police officer in New Mexico.
Do me a favor, step out of the car.
What's up?
Step out of the car. Hey, let me see your hands. Put your hands up. I'm going to tell you right now. 962 Central 10-3, he has a hammer in his hand coming towards me. Put your hands up right now. Put your hands up. I'm not going to tell you again. Don't come any closer. I'm going to tell you right now. Get down on the ground now. Nice, 62 Central. Shots fired. You got gloves?
Yeah. So here's how this thing goes down. There are 911 calls that were released, body cam video, and new details about the suspect. And this happened outside of a Chili's restaurant. And this guy's killed by a Las Cruces police officer. So the suspect, he's 50 years old, Philip Adrian Mullen, and he threatened people in the restaurant with a knife and a hammer. The shooting happened around 6 p.m. on Thursday, October the 9th. So the police chief, his name is Jeremy Story, he said around 10:40 in the morning, this Mullen guy walks into a local gun store and he wants to buy the cheapest handgun that they have, and he left without buying anything. And then a few hours later at 4:15 in the afternoon, officers get a call to an apartment complex, reports of a guy damaging vehicles with a machete. And this Mullen guy damaged two cars, but then he leaves the area. And then after 6 p.m., dispatchers get several 911 calls, and this time it's coming from Chili's, and they say there's an aggressive guy there with a hammer and a knife, and he's attacking people inside the restaurant. So witnesses told police that Mullen, our bad guy, had already hit at least one patron before going back in his car in the parking lot. Well, guess what? Cops get there. Dude's still freaking in the car. So the officer, when he arrives, this dude sitting in a silver Honda sedan. So, okay, look, there's two flags already. He's driving a silver car, okay, because I'm thinking about it oxidizes. And number one, it's a freaking Honda, okay? So those are two flags right there. Yeah, Brad, I'm serious. You're lucky he's not driving a Toyota. I'd be all over him. All right, so then so silver and a Honda. And the first officer arrives. He opens up the guy's driver's door, and this is all on body cam, and he orders the guy to put his hands up. Well, the guy kind of obliges the officer a little bit, Brett. He gets out of the car. He's got a hammer in his hand, in his right hand, and now he's walking towards the officer, right? So he's advancing the officer. Officer's backing up. Good verbal communication, but the officer's backing away. So he's giving up ground, and the guy's not retreating, not dropping the hammer. And so when the guy keeps advancing, the officer fires three shots. Now, here's the amazing thing about this, Ralph and Brett. The accuracy rate on this, freaking 100%. He nails this guy, and they're not contact shots, but it's definitely, there's definitely a little bit of distance. So anyway, he nails him all three times. Guy's pronounced dead at the scene. Investigators later to find a knife and a hammer in the dude's car, in addition to the hammer that he had in his hand when he got shot. And those match the descriptions from the 911 calls, verifying that he was the vandalism guy. Chief Story said that no one inside the restaurant was seriously hurt. Two patrons were victims of aggravated assault. And also they confirmed that this dude shockingly had a history of mental illness, if you can actually believe that. And he had previous encounters with the police. So there you go. Whoever wants to, we got a little over a minute before we take our third commercial break. Brett, start us off.
Guy with a hammer coming at me, I'm going to shoot him. I'm not going to give him commands. I'm going to shoot him. Okay, go ahead, Ralph.
No, I agree 110%. A guy comes out with a hammer at me. It's a weapon. It's done.
Yep. Now, Ralph, I know the way Ralph. Here's what Ralph's saying, the thing that's correct. And he's on the show. He's the politically correct thing to say is what Ralph just said. What Ralph is really thinking is that this dude's in New Mexico, and he's eating at a freaking Chili's, which is not authentic Mexican food. That's the real thing that's got Ralph going.
That offended me.
Well, that's probable cause.
That offended me. I'll tell you this, though, Chip and Brett. Being a little guy like me, my tactics would have been a lot different than that officer. A lot different, though. It's a justified shooting. I've been in situations like that, but my tactics would have been different.
All right, guys, we're coming up on a commercial break. It snuck up on me. Stick with us. We'll be right back. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues, maybe even friendly fire, Brett. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett. Take a bow, and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to thegunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that's gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, Chief Ralph Ornelas, and we're talking about law enforcement stuff. So, guys, any more commentary on the story with the video component that we just talked about? Are you guys ready to move on to the next one, or
let's move on?
All right. So we're going to stop talking about the Chili's restaurant ordeal with our bad guy that hopped out of the car with a hammer, attacked the cop, and didn't go so well for him. So
I did want to say one thing. I do apologize. Can I say one thing?
Oh, absolutely. This is your show.
Backing up, in the presence of a threat is natural, but it's not safe.
Yeah. And so, take that one step further and tell us why, if you don't mind.
So when you're going backwards under stress, you're likely to trip because nobody practices tactical backing. I think the officer would have better off going laterally and getting behind one of those other cars for safety. But again, and they should have shot him a lot sooner.
Yeah. So this is one of those things to where we're going to have people listening to the show. I'm talking about civilians, and they're going to hear you say that. And they're going to say, okay, well, mate, and we've been talking about training, right? We've been talking about, you know, dissecting shootings and stuff and training. So there's someone out there, I guarantee you, that's thinking, you need to start training comps on how to back up safely, you know, backing up with your firearm pointing the bad guy, make sure that you're looking around. There's some people that are warped enough to think that we're going to keep cops, teach them how to give up ground and stuff.
Yeah. So I go to the chief and I say, Chief, I know you hate training, but I want to include a module on tactical backing. He's going to Baker at me.
So Brett is absolutely right. We've actually had some stories very recently on video where, I mean, I think one last week where the cop that was backing away from the naked dude that was charging him with a knife, he fell over a curb and he went down. And the cop that was chasing the bad guy had a taser in his hand. And the bad guy, I'm glad the cop didn't have a gun, because the bad guy was between the cop with the taser and the dude he's chasing. And so if he would have shot the bad guy, the backdrop was the cop, you know, that ended up pulling the trigger and shooting the bad guy. But that cop, they both went to the hospital because the cop got freaking injured when he fell down. And then how many guys go down and it could become very easy to pull that trigger too, you know, when you're going down too. So that's a great, I'm glad that you made that comment before we switched topics. So here we go. We've got another one, and I want to make sure that we have time for the little you know, cooler story. Rumble.com. This is Butter. Dashcam video shows the end of a pursuit after the third pit attempt of a fleeing driver in a box truck.
Local unit number 3 monitoring. Come on, let me fly.
Two attempted pits. He drove out of both of them. Third time's a charm.
Still a turn. We can still a turn. See? Oh, there we go. Correct.
I'm telling you guys, we're on to something with these box trucks. I don't know why they're stealing them, if there's like a market for stolen box trucks, but we're in Oregon on this one. Pierce County, deputies with the Pierce County Sheriff's Office arrested a guy who'd been pulled over from a smoking box truck. It was smoking because it had crashed at the end of the pursuit and actually flipped. According to the Sheriff's Office, the chase started Sunday night. This dude was certainly, this is the problem. He should have been in church. Instead, he's driving a stolen box truck. And the deputy spots the stolen box truck, and he's driving near Bonnie Lake, and the deputy attempts to stop him. The driver flees, leads deputies on the chase. So you'd see the deputy trying to pit this dude, and this is a box. These things are freaking huge. And he pits him, tries on, I think, two times on the left, and then he says verbally, third time's the charm, and he does it on the right side, and apparently third time is a charm, because that sucker goes off the road, crashes through trees, lands on his side. It's sliding, you know, down. It was so impressive. That's why we're talking about it. And then the passengers are unable to get out, and then it starts smoking, and they got to bust the windshield. And these guys, they're freaking out inside the truck because they're thinking they're going to burn alive, right? And that's about the time, even if I didn't smoke, I'd have to pull out something and just light it on and just sit there and like take a smoke for a second and then bust him out of the freaking box truck, you know, that's smoking. I don't know. Commentary on this one, guys?
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I like the confidence in that officer. Two times, and the third time, he says the third time's a charm. And you know, when it went into the shrubs and it turned over, remember this, Brett and Chip, what I liked, I'm not sure if it was the sergeant or the lead officer. He said, hey, everybody, watch Crossfire. I love the communication between, I don't know if it was the sergeant or the officer, but I like that. I like when we're thinking about each other's safety. The suspect may have a gun. Let's watch the Crossfire. That really impressed me a lot. And I like the fact that tactically they did the best they could of containing that. But they did a great job on that. I was impressed. I never seen a pit of a box truck. I was impressed. Brett?
I think our old SOP chip said we're not supposed to pit high profile vehicles, but that may have just been our policy. I don't remember, but I'm kind of embarrassed. That guy was driving that box truck under stress being chased. He was driving it better than I can drive my sedan going down the interstate. So, you know, give him some kudos right before he almost got killed and dead.
It was entertaining.
But here's, you know, and you're right, Ralph, that officer showed a lot of maturity, but here's what you got to be careful of saying those comments on radio that's being recorded. Like, you know, if the officer had said, I'm going to pit this guy and kill him, or you know, you just can't, you got to be very careful. Yeah. Because everything is now is being recorded. But I was digging him too. I kind of like him. You know, he might have been me back in the day. You know, like he just said, "Oh, this is going to hurt." And you know, you're right, but it's just hard to say it.
All right, guys. Last story: TampaFP.com, Tampa Free Press. Here's your kid: Missouri woman allegedly hands former lover cooler with fetus. Now, Ralph, I told you we were going to go with the story. I see you shaking, but you know, I did warn you guys. Here we go. Hey, look. Look, for the single guys watching the show, she lost her boyfriend and she's available. I'm just throwing that out there. Brett, research her number and get it on the screen before we finish the story. A 29-year-old Missouri woman, Michaela Height, arrested last month after she allegedly delivered a cooler containing the human fetus to the home of the former romantic partner, telling him that, hey, here's your kid. Now, this incident, the former lover described it to police as a cruel, effed up joke. It led to her arrest on September the 18th on charges of harassment in the first degree, according to an affidavit filed by the Pulaski County Sheriff's Office. So Deputy Kobe Gasick responded to the residence in Waynesville at approximately 2:48 in the morning, early September the 18th. He got reports of a deceased fetus in the cooler. The victim tells the deputies that he and this female had an on-again, off-again romantic fling over the past few years, and he thought that she was a habitual liar. He stated that he had not believed her 1 or 2 months earlier when she told him that she was pregnant. And the victim told police that on the afternoon of September the 17th, that she had messaged him stating that she had had a miscarriage. And at 8:30 p.m., she allegedly hands him a red and white cooler secured with green tape, states that, hey, here's your kid, before she drives away. And then the man said, the cop said that the guy, he said that she didn't show any signs of remorse or anything when she said this to him. And then he thought it was a cruel joke, but he thought the cooler had drinks in it, but he doesn't want to open it because he's scared of what he's going to find. So finally, about an hour or so later, with a family friend, he opens it up and finds the fetus in it. And then he ends up, you know, calling the sheriff's office and nature takes his course. They go and arrest her. And the guy was distraught over this. So anyhow, that they go and arrest her on September the 18th. And she also had a previous failure to appear from a previous court date. So they're acting like they kept her in without maybe a bond or whatever. And that's the way this went down. Ralph.
That's tragic, number one. I mean, this lady had no respect for life of a fetus, her child. And to do something like that and then create a scenario to try to, you know, injure this former boyfriend and, you know, let's face it, you know, think about how tragic it must have been to open that cooler up and see the fetus in there. I mean, that's ugly stuff. But to me, that's cruel and unusual punishment in an approach that lady took toward this boyfriend that she must have had, admiration for at one time or love at one time. But you do something like that, terrible. Mm. Terrible.
Brett Bartlett.
People are evil.
There are some whacked out people out there. And, just, and I'll tell you,
this my wife asks me all the time, why do people do this? And she gets mad when I say they're just evil. And you know, you don't need to say much more than that. They're just evil people.
Terrible.
Yeah. There's some whacked out people out there. And at least, you know, it's a, you know, the miscarriage is unfortunate. The guy dodging a bullet by not being hooked up with this girl, that's not so unfortunate. And so hopefully, you know, I wouldn't want to be the one to have to open up the cooler and stuff. So hopefully he'll get past that. So,
yeah.
Guys, I want to mention the Wounded Blue, woundedblue.org, Lieutenant Rainey Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So, and we're doing the drawing now for the Gulf gift card. I'm checking one more source. All right. So I've got all the names. We've got a bunch of people in the contest. And let's see who gets picked Anthony Hicks. Anthony Hicks is the winner of the New Gulch gift card, and I have your email address. Congratulations, Anthony. And we did not have email addresses for everybody. So make sure next time, guys, that you're entering the contest and type in the word Gulch, give us your email address. So, hey, thanks so much to Chief Ralph Ornelas and also Captain Brett Bartlett for being on the show and adding some great commentary. And, guys, we had some tough topics today. So thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it. Also, Gulch at Gulch.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Gunlearn.com, and Medicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.